This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
If we can accept, if society can accept that we are not perfect in many ways, right? And that life is not meant to be perfect, then we'll be happier people because that burden of judgment is lifted. And so we can decide to do what's good for us because you are speaking the truth. You're not lying, right? To say that life is not perfect, you can't have everything, but from my experience, if you are facing a challenge in life, you must face it head on and do something about it. You know, don't expect a miracle, don't push the problem under the carpet, because it will not go away. It will stay there until you do something about it.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, Xiao Yik. This is Because Feelings Matter, a series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. Through their stories, we hope to normalize conversations about mental health and to hear how people found support for their struggles. For years, Marissa showed one face to the world, the face of a happy wife and mother and a successful entrepreneur, a woman who had it all. But the face she saw in the mirror every day was a different one, someone who was constantly struggling to reconcile her own needs with the expectations of people around her.
Hi, my name is Marissa. I'm an entrepreneur. I run a technology startup. I'm also a single parent. And I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. It's extreme mood swings. I can go very high and I also can go very low in a snap of a finger. But I have been taking mood stabilizers. So the treatment helps me manage my life. And I think so far I managed to lead a normal life. I started being an entrepreneur right out of university. I studied economics. Of course, my parents had different plans for me, but I didn't feel that I wanted to pursue their plans. So I set on my own to become an entrepreneur. I also married quite young. I mean, looking back, and I'm not blaming anyone right now, is pressure from the family and also society. You know, my parents are very conservative people. And I think looking back in hindsight, I didn't really find who I was at that time. And I got divorced. It was an amicable divorce. Both of us wanted it. And after the divorce, I spent time on myself and tried to find out who I am.
Do we ever ask ourselves who we really are? How content are we to be pigeonholed and then to spend our entire lives being told not to spread our wings too far? Devoted daughter, beloved wife, doting mother, female role model. Amid all those labels, Marissa was still trying to find out where she fit in.
My family is a high achiever. My dad was, chairman of one of the MNCs, and then my mom was also successful in her career. It seems that they have it all together, right? And my ex also, career-wise, is quite accomplished, right? And we have this so-called picture-perfect life. When I was married, my marital home was this three-story bungalow, and I drove a BMW and a Range Rover, right? So it seemed that, you know, everything fits perfectly, but I am struggling inside and not many people know because it's sort of like trying to keep up with what people think of you. I mean, I think a lot of it is shame as well, you know, shame to say that, hey, you know, I'm not like you, because I think we differentiate ourselves, you know, thinking that we're better than others, right? So that's kind of like a snobbish way of looking at life, you know, but there's shame associated with it, right? Shame to say that I'm also less.
For most of her life, Marissa didn't feel like she had a say when it came to what she wanted.
I think that I had to, you know, toe the line with other people's expectations, especially my parents and my family's expectations. You know, I mean, I was good, at least in school. I was quite good academically. And then I went to UCL, you know, I mean, it's a good university. And throughout that, they pile up these expectations on me, you know, that I have to be good at school and I have to be a good wife, I have to be a good mother. But they never ask me, what is it that I want? So the divorce is the bravest thing I did for myself because I wanted it. Right? And I wanted to explore what is it that I want in my life, right? And I have to take charge of it. And I find that after all that happened, even though it was hard, because I do have a daughter with my ex, it's hard because I think they live with their own sets of values and their own sets of expectations on you, but we are our own person. So I mean, when it comes to mental health issues, it's not just about you experiencing the mental health issues. For me, it wasn't just about me having bipolar, but it's also my surrounding, right? With all the expectations. And so what is the story? I mean, why are you putting so much expectations on me, right? In the end, for what? You say it's for my sake, but if it's for my sake, you should ask me what I want. Right. And when I got divorced, I thought, you know, marriage was a bit too much for me. And at this moment, I'm not thinking about remarrying because I think there's a lot of questions unanswered for myself in terms of what is it that I want and my mental health as well. I mean, the most important thing is that you're happy. But I have been talking to some of my friends, colleagues as well. And when they tell me that someone they know or they themselves have some kind of mental health issues and they're expecting some kind of miracle to change it, some external factor that will change them, it's not going to happen, right? And I've experienced this in my life. You have to take charge. You have to control. You know, if you think that your external surrounding is contributing to your mental illness, then do something about it. Either you seek therapy for that surrounding or you go out of that surrounding and put yourself in a different surrounding.
We don't often ask ourselves what we want, much less when it comes to people who often make decisions for us. And if there comes a point where we look back on our lives, do we have regrets and wish we had chosen a different path for ourselves?
I think that our experiences in life make us who we are right now. I think that if you had asked me like 10 years ago, what is it that I want? I probably am unclear about it as well. But right now, I mean, I have gone through many things as well, right? Living up to people's expectations, going to a good university, starting my own business, marriage, childbirth. So right now, all those experiences tell me what is it that I want, right? So if you ask me right now, what is it that I want? I just want to be free, right? That is really what I want because marriage, you know, you are confined within expectations as well. Like right now, I have none of that. I can do what is it that I feel and I put myself forward and my mental health forward as well. And I'm doing something about it, right? I'm taking my meds. I've signed up for mindfulness classes, you know, things like that. But I know a lot of people suffer in silence. They are in bad relationships, you know. And I've learned that we can't have it all, you know. You can't be a good mom, a good wife, a good entrepreneur all at once. You can't. You simply can't. I mean, you know, can you imagine during my marriage, because I had so many things going on, you know, and I was in an anxiety-filled marriage. I had problems sleeping at night and I was in constant fear. I don't know why. I was scared this might go wrong, that might go wrong. But after my divorce, I live alone and I picked myself up, make friends, make sure I go to the gym, make sure I pray. You know, I was like hearing voices while I was in my marriage. I was hearing voices, right? And suddenly after my divorce, you know, when I went out of the surrounding that made me anxious, right? The voices just stop. I'm not hearing voices anymore. I'm at peace. I sleep 8 hours a night, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm living the life that I want. So, yeah, I'm not saying that my ex was a bad person. It's just that living up to this kind of expectations, right? Other people's expectations. And I've never had the chance to explore myself. I've never really had the chance to ask what is it that I want, you know. And in terms of mental illness, I've got out of this situation that made me anxious and made me feel insecure and did something about it, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel if anything about my story that I want to give is that don't stay in your situation hoping for a miracle, because it won't happen. Trust me, I know.
After the break, how Marisa manages her bipolar disorder. This is Because Feelings Matter, a series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. Stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. And living with me, Xiaoyik. This is Because Feelings Matter, a series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. For this episode, I spoke to Marisa, who lives with bipolar disorder, a mental health condition that causes extreme fluctuations in a person's mood, energy, and ability to function. Marisa, however, relates her struggles to the external pressure and expectations placed upon her and not to her mental health condition. In fact, she hardly mentioned her bipolar disorder until I brought it up.
I don't think you should define yourself with the illnesses that you experience, right? I mean, I also see my bipolar in terms of science. You know, because when I talked to my psychiatrist, she did explain to me in a scientific way. She told me there are certain chemicals in your brain. Sometimes it's more than normal, and that is what causes your mood swings. I mean, a lot of people who have illnesses manage it well. I mean, provided that you manage it, right? That means you eat your meds, you do something about it. That's why I keep on saying, you know, do something about it. Because I've seen my friends, right, because they're so ashamed of them experiencing this, not to say illness, this situation, that they don't want to. So sometimes they don't take the meds and then they don't see the doctor. For me, I let you know the truth, right? I see my psychiatrist once a year, but I can tell you that the meds help. Therapy helps to a certain extent. But most importantly, what you do for yourself is the one that's going to change your condition.
Rapper Kanye West, who has bipolar disorder, made headlines in 2020 when he was at the center of some very public, very emotional, and sometimes incomprehensible appearances and tweets. His struggles with bipolar disorder took a backseat to the gossip and controversy surrounding his behavior. But mental health professionals were quick to highlight the challenges that people with bipolar disorder face and the need for empathy towards them. Despite increased awareness about mental health issues, bipolar disorder is still largely misunderstood, and Marisa has been on the receiving end of that stigma.
I've been called crazy before. I don't think I'm crazy. I think my characteristic is that when I do something, I kind of become obsessed about it. And I will do it until, you know, I grind it until it really is, you know, in Malay, there's a saying, apa alang-alang menyeluk perkasam, something like that, I can't remember. But basically, when I do something, I will do something with passion, with grit, with determination. So that makes me a little bit eccentric. But that doesn't make me crazy. And I think that you have to be self-aware as well. You know, you have to know who you are, because the judgment is there. People will always say things about you. It comes from a place of insecurity, because that person needs to feel good about themselves by putting other people down. That's insecurity. So if you're really secure about yourself and know who you are, you don't have to do that. Right? You say, okay, I am flawed, as in anybody else as well in this world. You know, we're all flawed, we're all human. That judgment comes from a place of insecurity.
What do you want to change about people's perceptions of bipolar disorder?
I'm a firm believer in hormones. So I think our behavior and our judgment really is affected by our hormones. For example, right, when I go to the gym, I feel good. There's endorphins released. So you feel good. You can sleep well at night. And then when you go to work the next day, you are in a good mood. With bipolar, you must understand these are mood swings. So you take the meds, the mood stabilizers, so that your moods will be stable. So if you are experiencing mood swings, take a step back. You know, don't ask that person when he or she in a bad mood, don't ask that person to make a decision, you know. Take a step back, ask that person, okay, do you need time to calm yourself down? Do you need time to relax? Anybody, especially those with mood disorders, ask them to take a step back. Because I think when you are making a decision while you are disoriented yourself, it's not only with people with bipolar, it's just that bipolar is a bit extreme, right? You have to be in a situation of calmness. And for me, especially if you're experiencing mood disorders like bipolar and all that, it's important that you practice mindfulness. I practiced it through praying. I've also joined mindfulness classes. I think there are ways that you can control your thoughts and your moods. For example, exercise. So like I said, again, the effort has to be on your part. Don't expect your psychiatrist or your therapist to solve problems for you. They can't, only you can.
As more conversations about mental health have surfaced in recent years, the rallying cry has been, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to admit you're struggling and not coping well. It's okay to say you can't do something and to ask for help. This ties in with Marisa's strongly held beliefs about withholding judgment against others who are struggling.
You know, to be honest, I'm in my 40s, right? I shouldn't care what people say, right? They don't understand the struggle to keep up with that picture-perfect lifestyle is a sham, it's a fake. I mean, it involves sacrifices. It involves putting other people's needs first. But at the end of the day, for what? So that you can go around and brag about your life? So I don't know why, you know. I really don't know why. Why is it so hard for us to be vulnerable? Why is it so hard for us to show that we're just human, just like anybody else? Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we struggle. It's very unhealthy to try to portray a life that is not true. You know, I think we should talk about our vulnerabilities. I think it will save a lot of people from anxiety, from depression, you know, things like that. If we manage to think that we're just ordinary people, yeah, myself included.
A big part of mental health is self-esteem, feeling good about yourself. And that comes not from seeing a flawless reflection in the mirror, but about being comfortable with who you are.
I think being self-aware is very important. Self-aware in a way that you're not judging yourself, but you know who you are. You know both your strengths, your weaknesses and your flaws, and what you're good at. So that you will know, okay, I'm good at this, so let's do this. But I'm not good at that. Maybe I need a little bit of help from there, right? And the thing is about the choices that you make, right? So I'm thinking like an economist now. There's an opportunity cost, which means that if you take this choice, you have to let go of the other. So for me, it's okay, I want to focus on career, which means that relationships might take a back seat. But career is important to me because as a woman, I want to show other women like that, that we can be our own person. that we can have our own dreams and our own ambition, and we can go after them. And there's a lot of barriers that I break, especially in my culture. So for now, I think the biggest blessing in life that anyone can have is good health. So I'm thinking of that, you know, making sure that I am healthy, my mind is healthy, and that I am able to do the things that I want.
Marisa's story revolves around how she had little say in the way she wanted to lead her life until she broke free and took the reins into her own hands. But now with a young child of her own, how will she carve out her daughter's path? What would she say to her daughter?
Don't put labels. When I raise her, I don't want her to be presumptuous. I don't want her to be putting on labels. And I want her to see humans as humans, regardless of race or religion. I want that with my daughter. I mean, you should see the world as wide, as beautiful, as a place where you can thrive and be yourself, you know. And also, I want her to have the confidence and belief that she can go after her dreams. I want her to be happy. Happiness is a choice, and it's also something that you have to choose to achieve it. And she has my permission to achieve whatever makes her happy.
Finding happiness when you have a mental health condition isn't impossible. After a long struggle, Marisa says she has finally reached a place in her life that feels right to her.
As I age, become older, my bipolar seems to be more manageable. I can control my moods. And after my divorce, I actually find peace in my life. And I think I sleep well at night. My days are long. I start in the morning and then I finish at night after going for gym and all that. So from my life experience is that you have to take charge of your life, whatever you're diagnosed with, let's say bipolar or mental health issues or relationship problems. You can't just leave it just like that and stay at one place and hope that it will change. It really, really is about you taking life by the horns and take action. If you don't take action, nothing's going to happen and there's no miracle, sorry to say. I feel emancipated, I feel healthy, I feel free, I feel happy, right? That I get to choose what is it I want.
Bipolar disorder has been a secondary character in Marisa's story. For a long time, you might even say that Marisa herself and her mental well-being didn't have a main role in her life. But stories can change. Marisa has recast herself and changed the narrative. And how her story continues to unfold will be in her hands. This is Because Feelings Matter, a series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. If you missed any part of the show, or if you'd like to listen to previous podcasts, you can search for it on bfm.my or on our BFM app. You've been listening to Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.